President Fidel Castro. Last night, he addressed a crowd of about 1,200 at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. It's the same church where he spoke in 1960. Fidel Castro was in the U.S. for the 50th anniversary of the United Nations General Assembly, where he also spoke on Sunday.
This is the difficult part, because, holy, listen, the Comandante wants to hear the program. He's going to speak, you know that, but he wants to see what the people are presenting for him. So you got to give us that kind of respect. This is his personal request. Don't blame me. And a perfect segue. We have so many fantastic people here. One section there is all in the communication, in the war for communications. One of the arenas where we have been able to win is on radio, based on the fact that the continuous programming on Cuba on a consistent basis has come from WBAI. Maury Marston, Gerard White, Sally O'Brien. And one of the people who was very instrumental in keeping that going is the next presenter, a sister who we call our ambassador from the African community to Cuba, the author of Fidel and Malcolm X, Memories of a Meeting, NGO representative, member of the National Association of Third World Journalists, and of WBAI, Sister Rosemary Mealy.
Fidel Castro. Today I was listening to the news media giving some descriptions of all the international guests which had arrived in this city, and the mayor of this city said that there was a certain international guest, as a matter of fact, two he named, who would not be welcome in New York City. But of course, here we can attest to the fact that Cuba is welcome in Harlem and in New York City. Brothers and sisters, track. And let us begin, because there are many of you who are here tonight who know this history better than I do. But when we were in the process of documenting this history, you came forward and allowed us to understand the symbolic character and the nature of Fidel's first visit to Harlem when he was greeted at the Hotel Teresa only a few blocks away. And as I reminisce today, when they said that he was not welcome downtown, we again are showing them that he is always welcome uptown. Brothers and sisters, in 1960 through 1961, the United States government imposed an economic blockade of Cuba that is to continue today. On Sunday, September 18, 1960, Cuban Premier Fidel Castro arrived in the United States for the 15th General Session of the United Nations. He was greeted at the airport by thousands of well-wishers who wanted to follow the Cuban delegation from place to place. The United States government imposed a travel restriction on our guests the same way in which today they have imposed a travel restriction that they cannot travel within a 25-mile radius of the United Nations. But fortunately, Harlem is within that radius. If we reminisce, after Fidel and the delegation refused to accept the unreasonable financial demands by the management of the Midtown Shelburne Hotel downtown, he moved uptown to Harlem, to 125th Street, where thousands of people on Monday, September 19, 1960, greeted him the same way in which he was greeted tonight. History does repeat itself. On Tuesday, September 20th, the Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev paid a visit to Fidel at the Hotel Teresa. And then on Wednesday, much like what is happening here tonight, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee hosted a reception for Fidel and the entire Cuban delegation. And then on Thursday, September 22nd, the delegation hosted the employees of the Hotel Teresa, because can you believe it? They even refused to invite the delegation to all the elaborate occasions and things that they had set forth for other delegations to the United States. So Fidel said, okay, come on to the Hotel Teresa. And he set up an incredible buffet for the entire employees of the hotel. Wasn't that a thrill? And then on Saturday, September 24th, 1960, the Harlem branch of the Communist Party of the United States, under the leadership of the former political prisoner Ben Davis, held a rally in Harlem where thousands and thousands came to see the Cuban delegation and to be in solidarity with the revolution. And then on Sunday, September 25th, President Abdel Nasser of the United Arab Republic visited Fidel at the Hotel Teresa. And then on Monday, as we saw today, September 26, 1960, Fidel addressed the United Nations General Assembly for 4.5 hours. And then... On Tuesday, September 27th, was an early afternoon, and who came up to Harlem but one of our greatest African leaders, Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana. And at the hotel, he also received visits of India's Prime Minister Nehru and the Foreign Secretary Menon, and he also received the Bulgarian leaders. And then in the morning of September 28th, he paid a courtesy call to Nasser at the United Arab Republic. And that evening, they left, returned back to revolutionary Cuba. And brothers and sisters, That was one of the most important historical events in our history, history that we are attempting to document and to share, because as my brother here has stated, when Africa called, Cuba answered. But we want to say, and we want the people of Cuba, and we want Fidel to know that there are historical ties that unite us as people, because Fidel and the revolution and the July 26th movement was able to carry forth those dreams of Malcolm. They were realized for Cuba, but we are still to struggle for them here. And in closing, you all know that Fidel is also a lawyer, and we have many lawyers here with us that are struggling, and Ilambe will mention those, and next year I hope to be there too so that I can continue. But we will only use law as Fidel used law in the service of the people, because Fidel said when he was imprisoned by Batista, and he defended himself, he said, "History will absolve me." And we know that today, those words are just as true. Viva Cuba Libre! Viva Fidel! And long live the solidarity between the peoples of Harlem and the peoples of Cuba. Gracias.
Before we go to the welcome from the Cuban community in the U.S., we'd like at this particular time to have Reverend Calvin Butts give a response from the church, particularly in regard to our honored guests. Reverend Calvin Butts.
Thank you very much. Grace be unto you and peace from God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me. The Abyssinian Baptist Church in the city of New York has been here for 187 years. We were born out of racial segregation in America. We were told that blacks, African people, could not worship God with whites, Europeans. We decided that we would establish for ourselves a church where we can determine for ourselves with whom we will worship, and having done so, made the determination that all are welcome in this house of God. We've been led by many strong and visionary pastors. Among them was a man named Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. Adam Powell, Jr. was a visionary and a man who in the 50s decided that as the so-called third world nations were emerging, he would go and stand with them in solidarity, the only representative from this nation to do so. Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. recognized the rising tide of revolution in the world. He was a close confidant of many who struggled to liberate oppressed people and break the yoke of colonialism. Early on, Adam Clayton Powell recognized the power and the strength of a man in Harlem called Malcolm X and invited him to this very place to speak to our community. Here in the Abyssinian Church, Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. welcomed Emperor Haile Selassie And here he was presented with the cross of the Ethiopian church. Here we've had the privilege of welcoming the likes, the venerable and honorable Michael Manley of Jamaica, the great and distinguished Leopold Senghor, and many, many other distinguished heads of state. So for those who ask the question, why would we welcome Fidel Castro tonight? We answer, it is in our tradition to welcome those who are visionary, who are revolutionary, and who seek the freedom of all of the people around the world. In the year 1984, Dr. James Cone, the father of liberation theology, led a delegation of theological scholars to a conference in Cuba. There we had the privilege of meeting with Cuban scholars to talk about liberation theology and the revolution. While we were there, the president of Cuba, Fidel Castro, welcomed us with open arms. He allowed us to tour the entire island of Cuba. He allowed us to move freely through the streets, in the hotels, in the schools, to talk with the citizens and the children and the seniors. There we could witness and judge for ourselves the power of the revolution. When we discovered that we had been there, time moved so quickly, 3 or 4 days, Jesse Jackson showed up. Jesse was there, and the president of Cuba, Fidel Castro, welcomed him, even smoked a cigar with him. But most importantly, my beloved brothers and sisters, on that great day, Fidel Castro went to church. Yes. We were allowed to meet with him, and so I asked him, I said, Mr. President, everybody was so happy to see you in church. Do you believe in God? He said, I like church. He said, there is a God, but it's a God of justice and truth and equality. And I said, well, why do they think you don't like church? He said, because all the priests were corrupt in Cuba, so I ran them out. And then Jesse preached a sermon, and Jesse Jackson said, the island belongs to God. The water around the island belongs to God. And he was looking at the president. He said, the people belong to God. I got nervous. I said, Jesse, take it easy. But the president listened, and then he spoke with power. And you could see that the people of Cuba bonded with him. It is no mistake, beloved, and I take this time to apologize to so many who could not get in. But you know that security is tight. You know that he must be protected. You know that these inconveniences are to be expected because we have one of the great leaders of the world with us today. And so, and so we welcome you. We welcome you, Mr. President, to all of your delegation. To all of you, my beloved brothers and sisters, we welcome you in solidarity. And most importantly, and I take my seat, you know, somebody said that there's going to be a big banquet, a huge celebration, and all of the heads of state were welcome but one. And it's amazing, because I said to you that in the house of God, all are welcome. And listen, the one who would not accept the president must live under the judgment, because when he arrived in the house of God, nobody closed the door on him. And so therefore, beloved, God bless you. Welcome to the Abyssinian Baptist Church, where we believe in truth and in justice and equality, and where we join with you in saying, Cuba yes, blockade no. God bless you.
To take a spiritual page from the Bible, since the mayor didn't see fit or had the intelligence to understand when he was in the company of heroes, who would you rather have come to Harlem, Fidel or Giuliani? We invited Fidel. We disinvite Giuliani. Right. At this particular time, we'd like to get a response from the Cuban community. And that is to be done, of course, by Luis Miranda, the Casa de las Americas, and from Miami, Andres Gomez, from the Antonio Maceo Brigade.
Comandante Fidel Castro, Reverendo Bud y demás miembros de esta iglesia, vecinos de Harlem, neoyorquinos y compañeras y compañeros todos.
Comandante Fidel Castro, Reverend Butts, and other members of this church, neighbors of Harlem, New Yorkers, compañeras y compañeros.
En esta excepcional noche, nuestra presencia en esta sala es continuación y producto del trabajo a favor de la justicia social y las demás causas
de los pobres, de los oprimidos, realizadas por el sector radical de la inmigración cubana y latinoamericana en general, en Estados Unidos y en especial en la ciudad de Nueva York.
In this exceptional night, our presence in this hall is continuation and product of the work in favor of social justice and other causes of the poor and the oppressed, taken on by the radical sector of the Cuban migration in the United States, as well as other Latin American migrations in the United States, and especially in the city of New York.
José Martí, apóstol de nuestra nacionalidad y quien vivió los más fructíferos años de su vida en Nueva York, fue guía de esta lucha hace más de 100 años.
José Martí, apostle of our nationality and who lived the most fruitful years of his life in the city of New York, was guide of this struggle more than 100 years ago tonight.
Hoy en la inmigración cubana en Estados Unidos, el trabajo a favor de estas sagradas causas es la responsabilidad de un día mayor número de cubanos. Papel principal ha tenido la Casa de las Américas en Nueva York y en Miami la Brigada Antonio Maceo y la Alianza de Trabajo de la Comunidad Cubana.
Today, in the Cuban migration in the United States, the work in favor of these sacred causes has been the responsibility of an ever-increasing number of Cubans. Principal role in it has been played by Casa de las Américas here in New York City. And in Miami, by the Antonio Maceo Brigade. And the Alliance of Workers of the Cuban Community.
Esta noche también queremos rendir tributo a todas las innumerables cantidad de hermanas y hermanos, compañeros afroamericanos en esta comunidad y en todo el país que luchan por lograr la liberación no solo de su propia comunidad, sino de todos los pobres, no importando su raza, sexo o nacionalidad.
Tonight, we will also want to give tribute to the innumerable compañeras and compañeros, Afro-American compañeras and compañeros, in this community and throughout the land that struggle to obtain the liberation, not only of its own community, but of all the poor, no matter their race, sex, or nationality.
Es esencial también reconocer el aporte de los demás sectores nacionales, muchos aquí presentes, a favor de estas causas y por consiguiente a favor de la defensa del pueblo cubano.
It is essential as well to recognize the work of the other national sectors, many present here tonight, in favor of the same causes, and therefore in favor of the defense
of the Cuban people.
Comandante, anoche usted nos dijo que en septiembre de 1960, cuando visitó a Harlem hace 35 años, su discurso a la Asamblea General fue de 4.5 horas de duración, más o menos. Un récord en las Naciones Unidas. ¿Y qué haría el discurso que pronunció en las Naciones Unidas tan solo de 5 minutos?
Comandante, last night you told us that in September 1960, when you visited Harlem 35 years ago, your speech to the General Assembly was the longest ever made in that hall. More than 4.5 hours. And that today, you would make in the General Assembly the shortest, only 5 minutes long.
Quisiéramos comandarte que en esta noche usted hiciera un discurso aún más largo del que hizo en 1960. Para así poder compartir más tiempo con usted y tenerlo más tiempo entre nosotros.
Comandante, we would wish that tonight you will make an even longer speech that you made in 1960 in the General Assembly. So to have more time with you and to be able to share you more among us all.
¡Viva Cuba Libre!
¡Viva!
¡Abajo el bloqueo!
¡Abajo el bloqueo!
¡Abajo el bloqueo!
¿Qué quieren ustedes que yo haga? ¿Que yo hable ahora o van a escoger ahora?
Creo que van a escoger ahora. Sí. Ni siquiera van a hablar ahora. ¿Se siente? ¿Cómo van a romper el reto?
No. Pero, ¿cuánto falta?
He says he can speak now.
Can you speak
now? We're going to change the program slightly. We have come here tonight to hear a world figure that we love and respect. We have come here tonight to show our solidarity with the Cuban Revolution. Because the Cuban Revolution has shown solidarity with us. The Cuban Revolution has opened its doors to those who have had to flee from persecution in the United States. The Cuban Revolution has provided more medical assistance throughout the world. Than the entire World Health Organization of the United Nations. The Cuban Revolution has shed blood in Africa for the African people. I had the honor in 1976, along with the late brother Irving Davis, of flying from Conakry, Guinea, on a Soviet air float carrying Cuban compañeros to fight in Angola. And we saw the work that they did there, not just because they went to fight, but all of the life they brought forth from dealing with children, bringing children into the world, to saving lives because of their medical help. So it's not just about how much blood has been spilt in combat, but also the giving of life. And the Cubans gave their lives to help the lives of Africans. In 1990, we had the opportunity to hear Fidel Castro talk about the Battle of Cuito Canaveral, the silent fact of the Angolan War and liberation of Southern Africa. Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, I give to you the hero of the struggle of people throughout the world, Comandante Fidel Castro.
Queridos, o mejor dicho, queridísimos
dear,
amigos.
Or rather, very dear friends.
Algunos de los que me precedieron,
some of the speakers who preceded me,
decía que algunos se preguntaban,
I said that some of them were wondering,
¿por qué me recibían en esta
why was
iglesia?
It that I was being welcome in this church?
Y él contó interesantes anécdotas.
And he told very interesting stories.
Me habían llevado a la otra iglesia.
Of the day they took me to the other church.
Sobre eso debo hablar también.
I should speak about that too tonight.
Pero pero es que no solo algunos de ustedes.
But it happens that not only some of you, but
que me recibían a mí.
I was also wondering why I was being welcomed like this.
Yo mismo,
it is that I myself,
cuando me estaba vistiendo,
while I was getting dressed
para venir acá,
to come here tonight,
me quité de todos los trajes.
I got rid of the business suit.
Me puse esta ropa que es la que había usado.
I got rid of my business suit and then I went into this fatigues which I have been wearing for so many years. I have been wearing this till international diplomacy has forced me.
Hace mucho.
Not very long ago.
A ponerme una guayabera.
To wear a guayabera.
Pero descubrí.
But then I discovered
que yo no tenía una sola guayabera.
That I did not have only one guayabera.
Me prestaron guayabera.
Then I had to borrow one.
Movilizaron no sé cuánta gente.
They mobilized I don't know how many
tailors
in order to have some guayaberas cut for me.
Por la noche.
That was in the midnight.
Yo me tenía que ir al otro día.
I was supposed to leave on that trip
me
the next day.
Por la mañana.
I tried it in the morning.
Y realmente estaba tan
and actually it did not
amplia.
Fit. It was so big.
Que yo en broma,
it was so big that as a joke,
le dije a los amigos,
I said to my friends, look,
me referí a una persona,
I mentioned a person
con la que he tenido contradicciones,
with whom I have had some contradictions,
pero que, al que pude, a la que pude conocer,
but somebody I was able to meet later, and he's not a bad person.
Era presidente un país.
He was the president of a country.
Latinoamericano.
Of a Latin American country.
Y yo le dije, óigame.
And he was fat.
Ustedes me han hecho la guayabera del gordo tal.
So I said to the tailor, you have tailored that guayabera for that man and not for me.
Corre, recorta.
It was broad like this.
Pero me tuve que poner la guayabera.
But I had to wear it nonetheless.
Después le cuento un amigo, una familia.
After that I said it to a friend.
Que tenía
to a family.
Una hija diseñadora.
Who happened to have a daughter who's a designer. In Holland, she had studied in Europe. That family had had relations with Cuba for a long time. I told them that I discovered that I did not have any civilian clothes. So they offered me her services, that family, and then she designed some suits for me. Well, actually, she prepared about three or four suits for me. But I assure you that I did not know anything about suits.
Ni la tela.
Not nothing about the clothes.
Ni la camisa.
Or the shirt.
Ni la corbata.
Or the tie.
Ni los yugos.
Or the cufflinks. You know, I did not know anything.
Unos zapatos de punta.
And the shoes, very uncomfortable
claro,
shoes.
Los pies míos no estaban acostumbrados a eso.
You know, I was not used to that.
Tenía unas viejas botas.
I had my old boots.
Media raídas ya.
Somewhat old and...
No por pobreza.
Not because I was poor.
Sino por costumbre.
But because I was in the habit of wearing my old boots.
Tanto cariño mis botas
they were
que
so
no me las...
comfortable, you know, that I did not want to leave them for a new pair of shoes.
Quería quitar. Y entonces, por fin terminé.
Finally,
con
I ended up
guayabera,
dressed in a guayabera,
traje,
in a business
corbata,
suit, with a tie,
camisa,
with a shirt,
yugo,
with a cufflinks,
zapato,
with shoes.
Que no me los pongo porque
I'm not wearing them
no
now.
Ya no pudieron muchos años.
I don't like them much, you know.
Y por fin, bueno. Y ahora soy... un honorable caballero.
And now I am an honorable gentleman.
En las reuniones cumbre. Y a cada rato hay una reunión cumbre. Bueno,
once
ya.
In a while there are summit conferences and I have to dress up like an honorable gentleman in a business suit.
La reunión sobre desarrollo social.
There was another summit on social development. And in Paris, I had to pay a visit to that country, to
claro,
France.
En todos los lugares me bajo con este.
In every place, you know, I leave the
y
plane wearing
cambio.
My fatigues.
Las visitas,
and then I change for
museos,
those protocol visits.
Todo.
I wear my business suits.
Y entonces, bien. No sé si me he ido civilizando.
I don't know if it is because I'm becoming more civilized.
Tampoco quería dar la impresión y ayudar que yo fuera a aparecer como un señor militar allí o algo de eso. Que yo no estudié esa carrera.
You know, I did not study the career of looking like a gentleman in a business suit.
A mí no me quedó más remedio que
I only had to do it.
Tener que luchar.
And I did not study to be a politician. I had to
tener que aprender.
I had to learn the trade y bueno, along the way.
Hicimos algunas guerras. Y lo interesante es que las ganamos.
And the interesting thing is that we waged a battle and we won.
La nuestra era muy difícil, pero no le voy a hacer esa historia.
It is very difficult, but I'm not going to tell you that old story.
Pero llegamos a ser muy poquito.
But there was a time in which we were only a few.
A veces menos de 10.
Sometimes there was a time in which we were less than
10. 12.
Sometimes we were 12.
Pero nuestros adversarios eran como
chingados. But our adversaries,
y al final en 25
though there were many, in 25 months,
nuestra revolución venció
our revolution was victorious.
Lo venció de manera total. En combate abierto.
We won in the open battles.
Estamos siendo guerrillas y después.
We were in the guerrilla forces.
Una combinación
and then
de
with a combination
irregular,
of irregular war.
Habíamos aprendido el oficio.
We learned the trade of guerrilla warfare.
Pero nos gustó aquella ropa y nos quedamos con
but
ella.
We liked those fatigues that we wore at that time. And as I felt so comfortable in those fatigues, I kept wearing them all
bueno,
these years.
Les contaba que fui al hotel.
Anyway, I was telling
no,
you the story.
No, estoy en hotel. No,
I
no.
Went to the hotel, not to the hotel, excuse
no,
me.
En la misión de la embajada.
I went to the Cuban mission
a ponerme esta ropa.
To wear this fatigue, to go back into my fatigues because I had been wearing the business suit before.
Porque yo decía,
because I said to myself,
si la otra vez fui con esta ropa,
if the last time I went to Harlem I was wearing my fatigues,
¿cómo me voy a aparecer en Harlem,
how come I'm going to go to Harlem
vestido
dressed
de caballero
in a business suit?
Pensaba en estas cosas, pero de repente se me ocurrió pensar lo mismo que
contaba. I was thinking about this, but after that I started thinking what I said before.
¿Qué hago yo en Harlem?
What am I going to do in Harlem?
Esta noche.
What am I going to do there tonight?
¿Qué hago?
What shall I do?
¿Qué digo?
What shall I say?
Porque yo, bueno, en las Naciones Unidas puedo decir algunas cosas.
I can say a few things at the United Nations.
Pero aquí no tenemos inmunidad para
but here we don't
nosotros
have immunity to go into certain subjects.
Tengo además, si allí soy cuidadoso.
There I have to be careful.
Aquí también lo tengo que ser.
But here I have to be cautious
too. Nadie vaya a pensar.
Nobody should believe
que yo me mezclo en los asuntos
that I'm interfering in internal affairs of this country.
Y yo le juro que no me voy a mezclar en nada que no sea justo.
I swear that I'm not going to get mixed up in anything that is not public.
Pero algunas cosas abstractas, genéricas,
only some
medio
abstract,
filosóficas,
some generic things, some philosophy.
Pero, ¿qué digo?
I said, what shall I say to them?
¿De qué hablo?
What shall I speak about?
Me recordé que sí, que
then I remembered that yes, I had things to tell you. I had things to talk to you about.
Sin violar ninguna ley.
Without breaking any law.
Sin caer en una corte jurisdiccional.
Without having to be taken to a court.
Aunque espero que en ese caso ustedes me vayan a visitar.
So I hope that in that case you will go to visit me.
Pero es que recortaba tanto aquellos días.
I was really recalling those days.
Y
You know, those days were coming back to my memory. I remember with such appreciation those days in which I was here in this neighborhood. I said to myself, I have to go there and say hello to those people. Because it was in Harlem where I have to go and visit there, and together with them, the Latin American, the Puerto Rican brothers and sisters. And some have been spoken here. I think that yesterday there was a dinner. Yes, but I think the mayor said that I was a demon. And that a demon could not be invited to dinner. I said, I'll go hungry the first day in New York. After that, I was told that there would be a concert. That the United Nations was extending the invitations.
Pero la orquesta era de la alcaldía.
But the orchestra was under the mayor.
La alcaldía dijo, o el alcalde,
and the mayor seemed to have said,
de ninguna manera
no way,
orquesta podía tocar donde
the orchestra cannot play if the demon is in the hall.
Lo insólito.
It's really incredible.
Una familia amistosa.
It's outrageous because here there is a friendly family.
Rica.
A wealthy family.
Un grupo de empresarios.
And a group of businessmen.
Me invitaron.
Invited me last night for dinner.
Invitaron al demonio.
They invited the demon.
Paradojas.
It's a paradoxical.
Y debemos alegrarnos.
And we should be happy.
Porque son muchos más.
Because there are many more.
Los que comprenden.
The people who understand that the blockade
absurdas.
And all those things are obsolete.
Son cosas locas.
That those are crazy things.
Y muchos hombres de empresa
and many businessmen
se oponen hoy al
are bloqueo. Today opposed to the blockade.
Y luchan contra el
bloqueo. And they are striving against the blockade in their own way.
Ahora bien, yo no estoy aquí
now, I am not here
porque no me hayan invitado a una comida.
Because they did not invite me to dinner tonight.
Ayer.
Or yesterday.
Ni estoy aquí.
Nor am I here
no
because I had not been invited
hoy.
To dinner tonight.
Hoy hay comida también.
Today there is a dinner.
Y yo estoy excluido.
I have been excluded.
No por ser demonio.
Not ya because
no
I am a demon.
Tan mal como
I have not been
demonio.
So ill-treated tonight.
Pero bueno, no sé.
I don't know.
Si perjudico.
If it is because
cualquier actividad política.
I hurt a political activity, por if esto. I am present, I don't know.
Pero, si me hubieran invitado,
but if I had been invited
a la alcaldía,
to the mayorship,
tenía que ir por elemental,
I would have had to attend out of mere courtesy.
Si me hubieran invitado,
if I had been invited
a la filarmónica,
to the Philharmonic Orchestra,
hubiera
to the concert, I would have had to attend
cortesía,
for reasons of elementary courtesy
de elemental paciencia.
And even out of patience.
No porque me fuera aburrido.
Not because it was
concierto.
Going to be boring for me, that concert.
Pero oígame, eso de estar rodeado
but
de
believe
jefes
me,
de Estado todo
being surrounded
tiempo,
of heads of state all the time is sometimes unbearable.
Pero sí les puedo asegurar
I can assure
cosa.
You, though,
que yo habría asistido a
that
la comida,
I would have attended
a la que me habían invitado
that dinner
amablemente
to which
los empresarios,
I was invited by the businessmen.
Y no habría faltado jamás al encuentro con ustedes.
But I would have never failed to come to this meeting with you.
Porque lo primero que hice,
because the first thing I did,
cuando se habló del programa,
when the program was brought up with me, was to say that I wanted to visit the Teresa Hotel and that I wanted to have an encounter with you here in Harlem.
Pero nadie podrá decir que yo inventé una reunión.
But nobody will be able to say that I invented a meeting tonight just not to attend.
Pero otros lo inventaron comida y cosas.
Others have invented dinners and things.
Y me excluyeron.
And they have left me out.
Entonces yo tuve más tiempo.
I had more time then.
Tuve más tiempo, pude cumplir más.
So I had more time free to be able to come and discharge my duty and my decision to come and see you tonight.
Pero aquella vez.
But that day, I mean, those were unforgettable days for me, the days when I came to the Teresa Hotel many years ago. There was such hostility. There was such a campaign against our country that I passed by one area and they did like this.
Yo no sabía qué quería decir aquello,
I didn't know what they meant by that, but I could imagine that it was something. Something was wrong.
Pero todo cambiaba cuando llegaba a Harlem.
But everything changed when I came to Harlem.
Todo el mundo.
In Harlem, you did this.
Hoy hay algunos cambios, excepto algunos compatriotas nuestros que
today
todavía no se han acabado de
with
convertir
with the exception
a la causa
of some fellow citizens of ours who have not yet become
algunos,
followers of the cause of sovereignty and independence, only a few.
Menos,
actually, they are less and less.
Gastaron dinero, gastaron de todo,
they spent money
y buscaron no sé cuántos recursos.
And they found resources.
Me decía una periodista, ¿te sabes qué?
A journalist was telling me this evening,
hay 58 protestas.
Do you know that there have been 57 protests against you?
I said, yo que no he visto ninguna.
I'm a lucky man, I have not seen any. I don't know where she gets the data, but I said, I have seen thousands of people saying hello.
Ahora hay gente que me saluda en muchos lugares.
I have seen many people waving hands at me.
Sí, realmente cambio.
I've seen changes in the way people look at us. Remember that in those days when I came here first, those were the days of the Cold War.
Con la revolución recién nacida.
The revolution was practically a newborn.
Eso fue en el año 60.
That was in the year 1960.
Y entonces me hicieron la vida imposible.
And then they made life very difficult for me in that hotel where I was staying.
Yo tenía todavía un poco de mentalidad guerrillera.
I still had somewhat the mentality of a guerrilla.
Me voy para el patio de las Naciones Unidas.
So I said, I'm going to set up a tent in the patio of the UN.
En una casa de campaña.
I'm going to set up my tent there.
Seguí pensando si hubiera un contacto. Con el Hotel Teresa.
And then it was said that we had the contact with the Teresa Hotel.
Hay una cosa mucho más estratégica.
I said there is something more strategic than that.
Irme a parar allí en el Hotel Teresa.
I'm going to stay at Teresa Hotel.
Porque yo sabía que iba a contar con el corazón
de esta comunidad.
I
knew that here I would have the heart of the neighbors of Harlem.
Evidentemente. Era evidente la injusticia, era evidente la discriminación.
Injustice was obvious, discrimination was obvious to me.
Y como revolucionario,
and as a revolutionary,
sabía la recepción que tendría.
I knew that I would be welcome in this neighborhood.
Por eso es lo que dijo Lincoln, se puede engañar.
I remember what Lincoln said. You can deceive
a toda la gente una parte del tiempo.
All the people part of the time.
A una parte
part of the people part of the time.
No se puede engañar a todo el mundo.
But not all the people all the time.
Ah. Pero ustedes fueron la parte de la gente.
But you were the part of the people.
A quienes nunca pudieron engañar.
Who were never deceived.
Aquí contó Rosemary las personalidades que vinieron.
Rosemary here said all the personalities that came to visit me at Teresa Hotel.
Líderes internacionales.
International leaders.
Que en muestra de solidaridad.
Who in solidarity with me.
Vino Khrushchev.
Even Khrushchev came.
Sí, Khrushchev fue uno de los
primeros. Yes, Khrushchev was one of the first leaders who came to visit me.
Era el jefe de una superpotencia.
And he was the leader of a superpower.
Le agradezco, le reconozco.
I appreciated that gesture that he had. Khrushchev was a peasant.
Astuto.
He was a very shrewd peasant.
Simpático.
Very funny guy.
Y subió las escaleras y no desbarató aquella.
And he did not dismantle his country, by the way.
Subió por las escaleras, los ascensores del Teresa encantado, y después vinieron otros muchos líderes.
He became a leader, but after that, many of the leaders came
Nehru,
to visit Nehru.
Una de las grandes figuras.
One of the great leaders.
Historical
leaders. One of the great politicians.
Y vino Nasser.
And Nasser.
Vino Nkrumah.
Nkrumah.
Uno de los más prestigiosos. Vinieron numerosos dirigentes.
Many.
Aquí. Al Teresa.
Many great leaders came to visit me at the Teresa Hotel.
Grosera maniobra de hostilidad.
They rejected that gross maneuver
no
of hostility against our country. It did not pay off for anyone. Actually, it offered me an unforgettable memory and a reason for feeling eternal gratitude
hacia el pueblo norteamericano
for the American people. Because I could see in you the best representative of the virtues of the American people.
Se creó una historia. ¿Y saben cuánto tiempo hace de eso?
And you know how long ago that was?
35
years ago.
Que se cumple el 35
so this is the 35th anniversary
de mi visita.
Of my visit, my first visit
lo increíble
to this neighborhood. Now the incredible thing is
que todavía me expulsen.
That I'm still expelled
de las comidas,
I'm
de
still
la
being left out of the dinners and the receptions and the banquets.
Como si no hubiera cambiado nada.
As if nothing had changed all these years.
Como si todavía estuviéramos en la Guerra Fría.
As if we were still in the days of the Cold War.
Frío hacia acá adentro.
It's cold inside. But it's not a Cold War.
No. Calor humano.
There is human warmth,
fría, no tiene mucho
but the weather is somewhat cold. It seems to be that the church does not have funds for the heat.
Bueno, es increíble que se repita la historia.
It's really incredible that history is repeating itself that way.
De esa forma. Ahora, yo tendría que hacerme otra pregunta.
Now, I would have to ask myself another question.
¿Por qué reciben ustedes
why is it
con tanto respeto, con
that you're receiving us here with such great respect.
Y eso tiene que tener una respuesta.
And there must be a reason for that.
Tiene que tener una respuesta. que si otros no han cambiado, nosotros tampoco.
Because if others have not changed in their hostile positions, we have not changed either.
Y otros cambiarán.
Others might change.
Porque no tienen la razón.
Because they do not have the reason.
Y nosotros no cambiaremos.
They are not right, but we will never change.
Porque tenemos.
Because
la razón.
We are right.
Y la mejor prueba.
And the best evidence.
La mejor prueba.
The best evidence.
Son ustedes.
Is your presence here
y el calor y el
and the warmth and the love with which you have received me here tonight.
En el día de hoy. Y pienso que nuestro pueblo
and I think that our people
ha cumplido sus deberes
has discharged
morales,
its moral duties.
Ha cumplido con sus principios.
It has discharged its it has observed its ideals, its principles.
Con la solidaridad.
And we have been in solidarity.
La compañera Rosa María hablaba.
Comrade Rosemary here.
Sobre algunos de los esfuerzos.
Spoke
de
about some of the efforts of international solidarity that Cuba has made.
Habló de médicos.
She spoke about our doctors.
Más de 15,000 médicos cubanos.
Over 15,000 Cuban doctors
han prestado servicios
have worked as internationalist missionaries in other countries.
Millones y decenas de millones de
millions and tens of millions of people have been taken care of by our doctors.
En África,
in Africa mainly.
En América Latina,
in Latin America also. And in other parts of the world.
Cientos de miles de
hundreds of thousands of lives have been saved by our doctors' work.
Miles y miles
thousands and thousands
de profesores y maestros
of Cuban teachers and professors
técnicos
have trained technicians. Also, our technicians in many fields have gone to other countries
Cuba
to work.
Que se quedó con 3,000 médicos.
Cuba was left with only 3,000 doctors
de los 6,000 que tenía.
Out of the 6,000 it had in 1959.
Y nos llevaron 3,000.
3,000 left.
Mejores salarios.
They were incited by best salaries here in the United States.
Sin embargo, hoy tenemos
however,
casi 60,
nowadays we have 60,000.
Y si un día los norteamericanos
and if one day the Americans were to need doctors,
yo sé que tienen muchos,
I can tell you that we can give you.
Y muy bueno.
We have many
pero si en algún
good
lugar,
doctors.
En algún rincón,
we know that you
barrio,
have them, but if
no
in any
médico,
neighborhood you don't have a doctor,
nuestros médicos
our doctors would come to work here.
Para citar otro caso de solidaridad.
Just to mention another case in which solidarity was present.
Los nicaragüenses necesitaron médicos.
The Nicaraguans needed doctors.
Ustedes saben que en aquella época de otras partes no le mandaron médicos.
You know that at that time doctors were not sent from other parts
cañones,
of the world.
Ametralladoras,
others sent cannons,
bombardeadores.
machine guns, bombers,
and
ammunition of all kinds.
Y mientras de otras partes enviaban,
so while others
hombres
were sending,
que conducían a la tragedia, a la muerte,
were sending people to carry tragedy and death, 2,000 Cuban teachers
en su mayoría mujeres,
went there, most of them women.
Se fueron a enseñar a Nicaragua.
They went to Nicaragua to teach the Nicaraguans how to read and write.
No a las ciudades,
but they did not go to Managua, not to the capital. They went to the mountains.
A la selva.
They went to the places where there were no teachers.
A los lugares más apartados.
They went to the most remote places.
Cuando pedimos voluntarios para
and when we asked for teachers to volunteer in Cuba to go to Nicaragua,
se ofrecieron 30,000.
30,000 volunteered.
30,000. Vea, hermano, vos, qué sentimiento de
look, brother Butts, what a sentiment of solidarity our people has. So that has been growing in our people.
Algunos contrarrevolucionarios,
and when some counter-revolutionaries, some gangs in Nicaragua, some contras killed some Cuban teachers, 100,000 Cuban teachers volunteered to take their places.
Esos fueron los valores morales que se fueron creando.
Those have been the moral values that we have been creating with the changes in our country.
Y voy a citar otro ejemplo.
And I'm going to mention another example.
Cuando hubo un gran terremoto,
when there was a big earthquake in Peru,
que mató 100,
which killed 100,000 people, which killed 70,000 people,
pedimos donaciones de sangre.
We asked for blood donations from our people.
Y en 10 días,
and in 10 days,
se ofrecieron y se se hicieron,
we received from our people
100,000 donaciones,
100,000 blood donations to give them to Peru.
Cuando hubo un terremoto en Armenia,
when there was an earthquake in Armenia,
se ofrecieron y se hicieron 50,000 donaciones.
50,000 blood donations were given by our people for them.
Irán,
when there was an earthquake in Iran and thousands of people died, we also collected thousands of donations. And wherever there has been a tragedy, a hurricane, an earthquake, our technicians, our doctors, our people have made their contribution to help, regardless of ideologies, regardless of whether those countries had diplomatic relations with us or not.
Ese es el país bloqueado.
That is the country which is under a blockade.
Ese es el país al que se acusa de violaciones de los derechos humanos.
Accused of violations of human rights.
El país que ha elevado el promedio de vida.
The country that has raised
perspectiva de vida casi 76.
Life expectancy to almost 76.
Y que al reducir la mortalidad infantil,
and that has reduced infant mortality rate
de 60 por cada mil
from
nacidos,
60 per 1,000 live birth
a menos de
to
10,
less than 10
ha salvado la vida. Ha salvado la vida cientos de
and
miles
in doing so it has saved the lives of hundreds of thousands of children.
De niños. ¿A cuántas personas les ha prolongado la vida?
And how many people are living a longer
dolor
life? How much pain
ha superado
has been relieved?
¿Cuánto dolor físico
how much physical pain has been relieved? The same way illiteracy was eradicated in the first years of the revolution. And today we have the highest per capita. The highest number of teachers and professors per capita, and that among all the countries of the world. The same way we have the highest percentage of doctors per capita in the world. That is the country which is being accused of violating human rights. A country that has pursued a steady line of absolute and total respect for the physical integrity of its citizens. And the best evidence were the 3,000 prisoners we got in the Bay of Pigs. Not only one of them can say that he was ill-treated. Not one of them was killed. Not one of them was murdered even after when they were captured after battle. Not one of them was hurt. They came back as heroes. And some even changed after that. But no one could ever say that they were hit by one of our soldiers. That is our honor. That is our glory. That is our history. No matter the slander, that is the truth. I have said that we have given our blood donations to save lives in other countries. We have talked about teachers, about doctors, but we have done something more than that. We have shed our blood. We have shed our blood to fight against colonialism and to defend the independence. Feel that we have discharged our duty to humanity. That is the 15 years that we fought against South Africa, against apartheid. For 15 years we were there fighting apartheid, fighting racism till the very end. What were they doing with us? They said that we had to be imposed a blockade. And they were doing that, they said, because we were giving assistance to that country. Because we were fighting the South African racist. But that is a very interesting story, you know. Something that will one day have to be written. One of the most awful systems of discrimination and racism was the one that existed there in that country, in South Africa,
tens of years
after the end of fascism and Nazism.
Sin embargo,
that situation existed there.
Hoy no se habla mucho.
However, not much is talked today about that, you know.
Nosotros conocemos bien la historia.
We know that history very well. We know it very well. South Africa was not blockaded.
No le impedían comprar alimentos y
medicinas. South Africa was not prevented from purchasing food and medicines.
Y al país que luchaba heroicamente.
And the country that was heroically fighting against the racists.
No le vendían una medicina.
Was not sold one medicine.
Una aspirina.
One aspirin.
Un citostat.
One citostat. For a cancer patient, that was the punishment.
Hoy todo el mundo feliz.
Today everybody's happy.
Porque se acabó el apartheid.
Because the apartheid is finished.
Hoy todo el mundo feliz.
Today everybody's happy.
Porque se produce la independencia de Namibia.
Because the independence of Namibia was attained.
Dura fue la lucha.
But there was a tough struggle.
De Namibiano.
By Namibians, Angolans, and Cubans. They had to fight very hard.
Para que usted tenga una idea, nuestras tropas.
For you to have an idea,
estaban cerca de la frontera.
Our troops were close to the South African border.
Un país poderoso,
a powerful country, a very wealthy country, South Africa.
Y nosotros a más de 10,000 kilómetros.
And we were over 10,000 kilometers away, I mean Cuba.
Manteníamos aquella lucha.
We were still keeping up that fight 10,000 kilómetros away from our territory.
Claro, aquello no era fácil.
Of course, that was not an easy task.
Cada vez que los angolanos iniciaban alguna
every time the Angolans started an offensive,
intervenían los surafricanos.
The South Africans came over and fought them back. And we said to the Soviets, who were the advisors to the Angolan headquarters, that those offensives were wrong. They couldn't do that. If they were not able to prevent the South Africans from attacking them, it was useless to conduct those offensives.
Eso no se entendía.
But they did not pay attention. They did not understand that. Till there was a moment when a very serious crisis was created. A moment when the war was practically lost.
Y nosotros,
and then we, the Cubans,
tuvimos que resolver el problema.
We had to solve the problem.
Enviamos muchas de nuestras mejores unidades.
We sent many of our best divisions. Pilots, planes, and we said to them, we are going to prevent the South Africans
cuando llegó la situación, había
from
una gran
acting.
Crisis.
When we arrived there, there was a great
y
crisis.
Se desarrolla la batalla de Cuito,
it was when the Cuito-Guanavale battle took place.
¿Sabe cuántos hombres envió Cuba, Angola en ese momento?
You know how many troops Cuba sent to Angola at that moment?
55,000
troops.
55,000 hombres. Lo cual habría y voluntarios todos.
And all of them on voluntary basis.
Lo más importante.
That's the most important thing of all.
En Cuito Guanavale se estrellaron los racistas.
And in Cuito Guanavale the racists could not win.
Ellos libraron allá la batalla al este.
They wanted to have the battle to the east.
Lugar difícil.
In a difficult place.
Y allí le hicimos la trampa.
But there we lay a trap for them.
Trampa contra la
we lay a trap
estrellaron.
Against which they clashed.
Porque se convirtió en un símbolo.
Because there Cuito Guanavale became a symbol.
Y enviamos las fuerzas necesarias.
We sent the necessary forces
para frenar.
To stop the South Africans' advancement.
Obligarlas a estrellarse
and to
allí.
Force them to defeat.
40,000 soldados.
While we
cubanos,
moved 40,000 Cuban troops.
20,000 soldados angolanos.
And 20,000 Angolan troops.
Hacia el suroeste.
To the southwest.
Para amenazar.
To threaten them on the other side.
A
al ejército surafricano.
To stop the South African army from trying something different.
So
necesaria. We were able to create the necessary balance of power.
Sencillamente para alcanzar la victoria.
Simply to stop them and to attain victory.
La aplicación de la resolución 435
so
y
the
al final,
implementation of resolution 435 and at the end to put an end to apartheid.
A la heroica lucha,
that was our contribution to the heroic struggle of the South African people.
De eso no se habla allí en Naciones Unidas.
You know, at the United Nations, they don't speak about that.
Escuché un gran número de discursos.
We have heard a great number of speeches.
Se hablaba y se aplaudía la independencia.
People spoke about the independence. They applauded the independence of the African countries.
Parecía obra y milagro.
It would seem that that was the work and miracle of the United Nations.
Se hablaba del fin. Se hablaba del fin de la apartheid.
There were talks about the end of apartheid.
Obra y milagro,
like the work and miracle of the United Nations.
De las Naciones Unidas. No se mencionó un solo cubano de los que murieron.
There was no mention about one Cuban of the many Cubans who died there.
El nombre de Cuba.
The name of Cuba was not even mentioned.
Vean cómo a veces.
So look how sometimes.
Se pretende escribir la historia.
People intend to write history, forgetting reality.
Pero ¿qué es lo más extraordinario?
But what is it the most extraordinary about this?
Es que Sudáfrica se había convertido.
It is that South Africa had become
en una potencia nuclear.
A nuclear power by then.
Y nosotros lo sabíamos.
And we knew it.
Incluso la dislocación de nuestras
we
tropas.
Even deployed our forces in such a way
se realizaba tomando en cuenta que Sudáfrica
that we were taking into account that South Africa
tenía
had
armas nucleares.
Nuclear warheads.
La cuestión era ver si se decidían a lanzarla o no.
The right of the matter was whether
porque
they would decide to drop it or not. Who were they going to use the weapon against?
Y después, ¿dónde?
Against
dentro
us?
De la propia
and where?
Sudáfrica.
Inside South Africa?
No se podía sostener el apartheid.
Apartheid could not sustain even if they had the nuclear
pero
weapon.
Por ahí se acaba de publicar un libro que
but a book has just been published
donde se habla de Sudáfrica
where they say that in South Africa at that time, they had tens of nuclear weapons at that time.
Granadas nucleares.
They even had nuclear grenades.
Una respetable fuerza nuclear.
They had a respectable amount of nuclear warheads.
Ya en detalle, en virtud de
it has been described in detail in that book.
Norteamericano y un
periodista in research made by American journalists
sudafricanos
and South African journalists that that was the situation at that time. Did anyone protest?
¿Acaso se ignoraba que Sudáfrica tenía armas nucleares?
Was perhaps ignored that South Africa had the nuclear weapons at that time?
¿Pero por qué no se dijo una sola
why
palabra?
Was it that nobody said a word about that?
¿Por qué no hubo una denuncia?
Why was it that there was not a denunciation about South Africa having the nuclear weapon?
Porque ahí estaban los cubanos.
Why? Because the Cubans were fighting there.
Luchando
the Cubans were the ones fighting the South Africans there,
y al parecer,
the South African racists.
No le importaban.
And apparently, some did not care
si
whether the South Africans used the nuclear bombs against the Cuban and Angolan
esa
troops
verdad, ese,
there.
Esa es una historia
that
que
is a historical truth. That history is still to be written.
Investigando y profundizando.
More research should be made
porque
about
según
that.
La teoría de estos escritores,
because according to the theory of these journalists and researchers,
fascistas,
fascist groups and racist groups in South Africa have been able to keep some of those weapons that they have, and they have them under their control right now.
Pero así se escribe la historia.
So that is history, you see.
Así se manejan las relaciones.
That is the way international relations work.
Determinadas personas, determinados
that is the
países,
way certain people and certain countries look at history.
Pueden fabricar armas nucleares.
Certain allies can manufacture as many nuclear weapons as they want. Nobody
si
cares.
Cualquier otro país,
if any other country
como fue el caso de Corea,
as it was the case of Korea,
sin que todavía se supiera con qué.
People say that they wanted to manufacture a nuclear bomb. Nobody knows with which resources they were going to do it. Anyway, a great scandal was made.
Pero la Sudáfrica de South Africa, del racismo,
the racist South Africa, the South Africa of apartheid could have as many,
le permitieron alcanzar
as many nuclear weapons
nuclear
as it wanted. It was allowed to have access to the nuclear energy.
De todas las armas que consideró.
It was allowed to have as many nuclear weapons as it wanted.
Por eso, al hablar de la historia,
that's
de
why when talking about the history of these years of revolution, I think that one of the most dangerous and risky pages written by the Cubans was the one written in that struggle against the racism and apartheid in South Africa.
Fueron los Namibios.
And the Namibians.
Fueron los Angolanos.
And the Angolans.
Y fuera de esos dos países.
But
solo Cuba.
And outside from those two countries, only Cuba
en el mundo
was involved.
Derramó su sangre.
Only Cuba shed its generous blood against apartheid and against racism.
Hay países donde desaparecieron más de 20,000 personas. Desaparecidas.
There are countries where more than 20,000 people are missing. There is a country
Guatemala,
in Central America, Guatemala,
donde desaparecieron a más de 100,000.
Where over 100,000 people are missing.
Desde la invasión mercenaria
contra. And that comes from the days of the invasion against.
Y no quiero mencionar otros muchos países.
A democratic government there, and I do not want to mention other countries, but thousands of people have disappeared in Latin America.
Jamás en Cuba.
That has never happened in Cuba.
Uno de esos países fue bloqueado. Cuba sí fue bloqueado.
None of those countries has been blockaded. However, Cuba is still under the blockade.
Esa es la realidad.
And that is the reality. That is historical reality. And we are against every blockade.
Ese bloqueo va
anyway, blockades goes against the people, against men, women, and children, against the youth and the old.
Tiene a matarlo de hambre.
It kills those people. It makes
porque
them starve.
Ningún bloqueo ha sido tan duro.
But no blockade has been as tough and as rigorous as the blockade against Cuba.
Yo creo que no es justo.
I think it is not fair to use blockade as a weapon against any country. It is not logical.
Porque son armas contra el pueblo.
Because those are weapons against the people, against ordinary people.
No tienen por qué usarse, se quieren prohibir las pruebas nucleares.
There is no reason. People want to have a ban on nuclear tests. Yes, we agree. All the nuclear weapons should be removed.
Pero ¿qué es un bloqueo?
But what is the blockade?
Como decíamos hoy, no.
As we were saying today at the United Nations.
Como un arma atómica.
If not like
silencioso.
As a noiseless atom bomb.
Que mata
which kills people. Which kills the people. Which kills the children. Which kills,
no tiene justificación.
There is no justification for a blockade.
Si me he extendido,
if I have overextended
no
in my speech, it is not because I had the idea.
Me he extendido porque quería
I have spoken
meditar,
this long because I wanted to meditate with you.
Sobre alguna de estas cuestiones,
I wanted to think with you about some of these matters.
La idea
with which I justify the idea that we have always been loyal, faithful to our principles, and that you, with your gesture of receiving us here tonight, recognize our loyalty to our principles.
Aquí en Harlem,
here in Harlem,
conocí a Malcolm X.
I met Malcolm X.
Conocí a otras muchas personalidades. Eran días difíciles.
Those were difficult days.
siempre son difíciles.
Well, we always are in difficult days.
Pero por delante estaba una lucha muy grande.
But we had ahead a very hard struggle.
La grande batalla de Martin Luther King.
The great battles of Martin Luther King were still
civiles.
To take place. His struggle for the civil rights.
La grande lucha de
the
las
great
minorías.
Struggles
Negra.
By the
Hispanica.
The blacks, the Hispanics,
parte,
the Latin Americans,
por mejorar sus condiciones
to improve
de vida.
Their living conditions.
La lucha de los ancianos,
the struggle by
los
the elders, sí. By the sick. I know very well that many of those conquests are in danger today. I know that some people would like to sweep away all those conquests. Some people would like to do away with all those conquests. To do away with every assistance to the sick, to the elder. They would like to do away with the affirmative actions. They would like to sweep away all the great achievements that the American people, the ordinary, humble people of America have attained in all these years. Well, I just make a brief reference to this. And I hope nobody would contest me for that.
Pero hacia Cuba, desde Estados Unidos, se transmiten alrededor de 1,000 horas.
About 1,000 hours of broadcasting from the United States are aimed at Cuba every week. 1,000 hours of radio broadcasting aimed against Cuba every week, promoting subversion, inciting to sabotage against the economy,
atentado.
Attempts against our leaders' lives. This modest person that you see here has the privilege, and I think that the church must have something to do with that.
De haber sobrepasado
of having survived
cientos de planes
hundreds
de
of attempts against my life.
Yo creo que las oraciones de ustedes o de muchos de ustedes están presentes.
I think that your prayers have been saving me.
¿Cómo aquí? Algo tiene que haber.
There must be something.
Puesto que bueno,
since
¿cómo habrá sido posible?
How could it be possible?
Y todavía esos planes
and those plans are still being hatched today.
No estoy culpando al gobierno,
I'm not blaming the U.S. administration.
Pero hay grupos de extrema derecha,
but there are extreme right-wing groups, extreme racist groups that continue to work feverishly to carry forward attempts against the economy of our country and to murder the leaders
de la
of our country.
Se mantiene como ahora. Nadie se imagina.
That's still going on.
Que no, que eso haya cambiado.
That has not changed.
En realidad. Me emocionaba el recuerdo de
I was moved by the memory when Mr. Botts was talking, he was reminded us of the day when we went to the church in Havana. I remember that that day I felt like a brother in that church because I made not a speech but a kind of a sermon. I delivered a sermon.
Y él se recordaba de más tarde.
And he was also reminding us
cuando preguntó
of other data
sobre mis creencias.
When I was asked about my beliefs
y lo que yo le había respondido.
And what I had answered then.
Con toda honestidad.
I answered in all honesty
es que yo no tuve la suerte de
that
tener.
I was not lucky enough
tan buenos pastores.
To have such good pastors.
En vez de decirme cree, me dijeran piensa.
Instead of telling me believe, they should have told me think. meditate.
Llevaran a mi alma las convicciones.
That way they would have taken to my soul the convictions that I did not have the privilege
de recibir.
Of receiving.
Me convertí en sacerdote de
so I became a priest in a different cause. A cause that I believe, though,
ninguna contradicción,
a cause that has no contradiction, a cause that has no contradiction with your religious belief and the beliefs of God. God was the idea of good, of doing good to the human beings.
Y cuando él hablaba,
and while he was talking,
yo pensaba en todos estos problemas
and I was
humanos,
thinking about all these human problems I have been discussing here tonight, all the sufferings of humanity,
no quiero enumerar en,
and I do not want to go
chifre.
Through the long list of
lo que sufren
calamities
4,500 millones de seres humanos del
4.5 billion human beings are suffering in the world.
Los miles de millones de ignorantes,
what billions of illiterate, starving people,
pobreza,
people who are living under the poverty line, are going through
salud,
without
nada.
Education, without medical
Cuando
care, when I see so much suffering,
me recordaba, al hablar el hermano Bot,
I remember while Brother Butts was talking,
una historia o una leyenda,
of a story or a legend
de un indio cubano,
of a Cuban native aborigine. Atuay was his name.
Que con ese espíritu de conquistador, con que llegaron
the Spaniards,
los españoles,
arrived in our countries with that spirit of conquerors.
A la América Latina.
They arrived with that spirit in Latin America.
Con la cruz y con la espada.
They came with a cross and the sword.
Deben comprender que la cruz no se puede,
you should understand that the cross cannot be introduced with a sword.
Pero, el indio Atuay se sublevó contra
that aborigine Atuay uprised against the conquerors.
Y lo condenaron a morir
and
en
he
la
was
hoguera.
Sentenced to die in the fire.
Cuando estaba en la hoguera,
and while he was
le dijeron,
while he was there in the fire, he was told
que existía un cielo,
that there was heaven
y que a él lo querían bautizar para que fuera,
and that he should be baptized to be able to go to heaven.
Entonces,
and then he asked
el indio preguntó si los españoles
if the Spaniards go to that heaven, I do not want to go there.
Y él no dijo si creía o no creía, dice, bueno, entonces.
He was not asked whether he believed or not.
Yo no quiero
he
ir
said,
al cielo.
If they go to heaven, then I do not want to go there.
Del mismo modo en este mundo muchos.
And nowadays in this world
que nos hablan del cielo.
There are many who speak to us about heaven.
En este mundo.
In this world.
Tan llenos de abuso.
Right here in this world so full of abuses.
Y tan lleno de injusticia.
So full of injustices.
Y en ese sentido,
and in that sense,
yo podría decir,
I could say,
a ese cielo,
that heaven
que ustedes practican en este mundo,
that you practice in this world,
nosotros
we do
no
not want to
ir.
Go there. We do not believe in that
nosotros.
Heaven.
Nosotros queremos ir a un cielo de justicia.
We want to go to a heaven where there is justice.
Y de dignidad humana.
Where there is human dignity.
Nosotros queremos ir a un
we
cielo.
We want to go to a heaven
de hermandad.
Where there is brotherhood.
Y por ese en ese cielo.
And in that heaven.
Creo.
I believe.
Y por ese cielo.
And for that heaven.
Dar mi vida.
I'm willing to give up my life.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Fidel Castro spoke at the same Harlem church back in 1960. In addition to this speech on Sunday, he also addressed the United Nations and was interviewed on CNN. Today, he speaks to Cuba scholars and others at the Council on Foreign Relations, a research center based in New York.